We're holding on Ayin Tes Omer Aleph, the 11th line. We talked about in the Mishnah the case where a person rents a donkey and various things happen to it. We said you have a case where the donkey hivrika, which we said means that it developed some kind of eye disease or foot disease, so it's still usable, but just barely. What was taken for the king's service on Galia, where there we say it's the owner can say basically it's your mazel. And he says, Hare shalacha fanecha, you still manage with it as is, versus where it died, or where it was or broken, or we said according to, we had Macholikas Rav and Shmuel, if it was taken for permanent angaria, then he has to provide him another donkey. So, the Gemara continues, a person rents a donkey to ride on it, and we said before in the Gemara, you can rent a donkey where you're going to be using it to transport goods, where there, for example, the Hivrika is not such a problem because you can still manage to transport them. You'll just have to go a little more slowly, as opposed to when you're riding on it, then that's different. You want to be able to ride on something safe. In any case, here we have that he rented the donkey to ride on it, and the donkey died halfway through the trip. He has to pay him the rent for the half away, the Eimor Olav El Tarumus, and he's only entitled to Tarumus that he gave him a weak donkey in the first place. But he has to pay for the amount that he used the donkey so far. Well, the Gemara asks, Hechidami, what is the scenario over here? Either Shriach La'aguri, if we're talking about that he's in an area where he'd be able to rent another donkey to complete the trip, Tarumus Mayavidde, then what does he even have a Tarumus for? It's easy enough to rent another donkey. It may be a little bit of a hardship for him to find another one, but he's only paying half of what he would have paid for the original one. Now he'll pay a new rental fee, but it'll only be half of what it would have normally been. Here, he rented the donkey to travel 100 miles. He traveled 50 miles so far, so he's paying for 50 miles. Now he's going to pay for another 50 miles for somebody else to rent him another donkey. What's the problem? All told, he's paying the same amount. So he shouldn't even be entitled to Tarumus. You see from that, by the way, that Tarumus is not Stam, that the person has the ability, that Stam going to grumble about it. He might still grumble. The Gemara obviously realizes he might still grumble about the hassle, but Tarumus, when we talk about Yesh Le'olav or Ein Le'olav, Tarumus means there's a degree of claim and Dinim Mominus that he has against the other person, except that it can't really be dealt with by Beis Din. So it would be, as we've talked about throughout the parak so far, it would mean that the other guy would have to ask him mechila to be yotzi yedei shemayim. It might even mean that the other guy should consider that lots is yedei shemayim. He might even have to pay him. Whatever the case, the point is, here you don't even have that. Idol is shriach la'aguri. And if you're talking about where you can't find another donkey to rent in this area, agra boi l'meisavlei. Why should he have to pay him for half the road? What good did it do him that now he went 50 miles and now he's stuck there in a place where you can't find another donkey? So where are we saying that on the one hand he has to pay half the rent? On the other hand, he's entitled to Tarumus. Seems like one way or the other. Either he shouldn't have to pay at all, or if he does have to pay and rent another donkey, then there's no room even for Tarumus. So the Gemara says, La'olam v'lishtiach la'aguri. In fact, we can be talking about a place where you can't easily find another animal to rent. But the reason why he still has to pay, Mishum de'omale, because the owner of the animal can tell him, Ilu boris l'meisad hocha. Look, and if you had wanted to travel to only here, if you did want to travel only the 50 miles, lav agra boris l'meisad, wouldn't you have had to pay to rent a donkey to go this distance? So therefore, now also you should be on the hook to pay that amount. Now Tosfos points out, okay, the fact is he didn't want to go over here. What good is he going to do? What good does it do over here to have traveled 50 miles? So Tosfos says a couple of possibilities. First of all, when we say that lo shchiach la'aguri, we don't mean it's impossible to find another donkey to rent. It means that that he wouldn't be able to find. So here he had paid $100 for the rental. Where therefore, in effect, it comes out, it would have been a dollar per mile, and now it died halfway through. So now we're saying he wouldn't be, when we said lo shchiach la'aguri, means that he wouldn't be able to find another donkey there to rent for $50. He might be able to for a little more. He might be able to find for $55, let's say. The fact is, he did gain that he did get this far, and now he doesn't have to rent. Now he doesn't have to rent another one all the way from the beginning. So therefore, so we wouldn't say that he gets to deduct anything. So we wouldn't say, for example, that, look, now I have to rent another junkie 55, therefore I should only have to pay you 45. So that's so we don't say that. The fact is he is able to rent one for slightly higher, so therefore we're going to tell him you do that, and that doesn't entitle you to not pay the rental on the first one until now. That's one possibility, Tosfos says. The other is, let's say we're not talking about riding it. Let's say we're talking about that he used it to transport merchandise. Now, whatever it is whatever merchandise it is that he's taking along, conceivably he could sell it right over here at the 50 mile mark. So therefore, so to begin with, some people bring things only over here. So we can tell him that, so the owner of the junkie can tell him that, in that case, make the best of it where you are. Go sell your wares over here and then that way you don't have to even complete the trip then. Or if you do, then you can do it on foot. Whatever the case, the point, because now you won't have your merchandise, whatever the case, so those are a couple of possibilities, Tosfos says, why he would have to pay for the time and for the distance until here. Okay. Well, the Gemara says, still, hefi dami. Still, but what exactly are we talking about? What was the arrangement to begin with? If when he first rented it, the guy said, I'm renting you a donkey without specifying this particular one, well then, so then he should indeed be required to give him another chamur because after all, he didn't specifically say that it has to be this donkey. So in other words, I'm renting you a donkey that will transport you 100 miles. Well, he only went 50 miles, so in that case, then he should need to supply him another donkey. Why are we saying that he only pays him the rent and Yeshle Olav Tarumas, and the owner of the donkey is not required to come out there and supply him another donkey? And Ida Omalei Chamur Zeh, on the other hand, if he said, I'm renting you this donkey, so then let's consider. Im Yesh B'dameh HaLikach, what about, we could ask, what about, it might happen that the dead animal is worth enough as dog food or whatever, that he could sell it and use the money to rent another one. So in other words, let's say, for example, he rented it for 100. Now it died halfway through the trip. So now we're saying, okay, so he pays $50 for the rental. Now, why is there only tarumas, implying that the owner of the donkey now washes his hands of the whole thing? Why don't we say then, in that case, let the traveler, the one who needed it to go the other 50 miles, let him take the dead body, sell it for 50, and use that to rent another donkey for 50 and complete the trip. So the Ramban deals with over here when the maskir, now you can distinguish between whether the maskir wants the money, wants the money for that point until now. What if he says, you know what, I don't need you to pay me, but I'm not going to supply you another donkey, then fine, you could say that he's potter. When he says chamur zeh, though, then he can't say, you know what, I'm willing to forego the rental. Instead, we would say that he should instead. He told him chamur zeh, so therefore, in effect, the other guy did mashicha with it, so therefore, that's what the Gemara is saying, says the Ramban, that now he should be able to use the dead body of the animal to rent another one. So the Gemara answer is, so loy tzricha b'she'en b'damel likach. So as a matter of fact, you could say that, let's say the value of the dead body is not enough to be able to buy another one. Tosfos points out it could say that there wasn't even that it's not even enough to rent another one. But the fact is, usually there's going to be enough to be able to rent another one. There just wouldn't be able to buy another one. So now the question becomes, basically, the Gemara is going to get into like this: if we say that he should buy another donkey with it, so if he's able to buy another donkey with the remaining amount, then it means the original owner has not lost his investment altogether. He started out with a donkey which is worth more. Now he's going to get a donkey which is worth less, but at least the Gemara is going to call it machalinen kauna. At least he hasn't lost his keren altogether. In the end, if the guy uses the money to buy another animal, then what's he going to do? He's going to use it. He's going to take it the remaining 50 miles. Then he's going to come back. And then he'll tell the guy, okay, you know, here's this animal. I bought it with the, here's this new animal. I bought it to replace the other one which died on me, with the $50 that was left, that was left of the value of it, after it was dead. So here, now you have it back, and now in the future you have a donkey for yourself to use and to rent out. As opposed to if we were to say that all there is money, and all there is enough to rent another donkey. Well, if he rents another one, fine. He may be able to complete his trip, but then he's going to have to return it to the second guy that he rented it from. Now the first guy is going to wind up with nothing. Do we require him to do that? Or can he say, you know what, I don't want that, though. After all, to begin with, I expected to get back a donkey. Now, fine, I understand that the donkey died, but after all, it was an onus on my part as well. You can't hold me so responsible that I should lose my entire investment. So that's going to be what the next piece of the Gemara is going to say, mechalinen kauno loy mechalinen kauno. So the Gemara says, so again, if he told him chamor stam, then he's going to have to supply him another donkey. Unless that Amban says, fine, what the alternative is that the sofer, the alternative is that the master can say, you know what, I'm washing my hands of the whole thing. Fine, I'll be moichel you the rental fee so far for the $50 that you went, but I shouldn't have to supply you another one. That would be a valid argument. But if he's demanding the rental, and if he's demanding the rental fee for up until now, then if he said chamur stam, he should be required to supply another donkey. And if he said chamur zeh, so then it means, in other words, again, he was meshabed this particular animal to him. So then, why can't the guy? If the sofer is able to take the dead animal and use the money to buy another one, then shouldn't we tell him to do that? And the answer is, we're talking about where the value of the dead animal is not enough to buy a new. But im yesh b'damel lisker yisker. The Gemara asks, im yesh b'damel lisker, well then fine, there may not be enough money to buy another one, but at least there should be enough to rent another one, which, as Tosfos points out, even if you could argue that, fine, you could say that the usual, many, many times, you're not going to find that the dead animal is going to be valuable enough, that $50 is going to be enough in our scenario to buy another donkey, but at least it should be enough to rent another one to go the 50 miles in return. If there's at least enough value in the dead animal to rent another one, yisker, why shouldn't he rent another one? Why is Rav saying that the sofer just has to pay him the rental fee for the 50 miles so far, and then he only has tarumas, meaning in other words, then it's up to him to go and scrape together another $50 or $55 or whatever to rent another animal? The answer is Rav Lataimei. Rav is going to his svara. Do Amar Rav loy mechalin in kauna. Rav says that we don't do something, we don't require the owner of the animal to do something which is going to cause his entire keren to be lost. So with the Mishnah saying Chayev Lahamed Lo Chamor Acher would be, Rashi says, when the animal died while it was still in his household. So now what is he going to do? He's going to go and buy another animal. So there's not Mechalin and Karana, because ultimately at the end of the thing, after the rental is over, he's going to have an animal that he can use and rent out in the future. That we should say that now that the animal is dead on the road, he should have to sell. We should say that he's going to sell the carcass of the animal and not even use it to buy another one, but only to rent one. Where there at the end, the owner of the animal, the master, is going to end up with nothing, with no animal at all. Rav says we can't do that. So therefore, that would be why Rav is saying that he does have to pay him the rental for so far, and there's only tarumas, meaning in other words that the masker can say that I don't have to supply you with another animal now. At this point, it's your problem. You're paying me half the rent. Now you still have $50 left over, so add a few dollars and rent another gun. So Rav is saying that you don't require the master to supply him another animal in that case. Which the itma, which in fact we have a discussion of Amiroyim about that. Hasulcher sahamur, exactly this case, a person rents a donkey, or meisaloy bachtia derech, and the animal died halfway through the trip. Omer Rav, so Rav says, yesh b'damel likach, if there's enough money, if the carcass is valuable enough that he can use that to buy another animal, yikach, then he goes ahead and does that. Lisker, but if there's only enough money in it to rent another animal, al yisker, then he can't, you can't go and rent an animal with that, because then they're going to have machalin and karna. Then again, the maske is going to end up with nothing at the end of it, because his original animal is dead, and all of the value of the animal went into renting another. Or Shmuel Amar Af Lisker Yisker, whereas Shmuel holds that even if he can only find that the carcass is now enough, is valuable enough to rent another one, then we'll say he can go ahead and rent it. He can go ahead and rent with that, and it's not his problem that. So my commitment, what is that machalik? That's exactly that. Rav Sov Aloy Machalik and Karna. Rav says we do not act in a way that's going to cause the masker to lose his entire keren. So therefore, you can't have that. You're going to take the rental. You're going to take the you're not going to. You can't take the value of the nevela and use that to rent another animal. To buy would be one thing, because you'll return it to the masker at the end, but not to rent. Or Shmuel Sava Machalik and Karna. Shmuel holds you could do that and go ahead and use the value of the carcass to rent another animal. It means at the end you're returning the rental and the master is left with nothing, not your problem. Well, the Gemara says, Maisvi, I have a contradiction on Rav. Now, you have a scenario where a person has borrowed money from somebody else and they made a mashkanta. Now, we learned in the previous parak all about mashkantas, all about various kinds of mortgages, one of them being we had a mashkanta de surah, which was that we said that the field, or in this case we're talking about a tree, is in the possession of the malva for X number of years. Let's say, for example, we say I'm borrowing $1,000 for a period of 10 years. So I'm going to give you a tree where on average that tree is going to produce $100 of fruit per year. You're going to hold on. You, the malva, are going to hold on to the tree for 10 years. At the end of the 10 years, regardless what happens, however much or however little fruit you got out of it, then you're returning it to me without any further payment. At that point, after 10 years, the loan is considered paid off by virtue of the fact that you had the use of the tree for 10 years. So we learned in the previous parak that such a mashkanta is mutter, there's no problem of ribis with it, even if it does wind up that the malva ends up getting more than $1,000 worth of food out of it, because there not necessarily was there going to be, it wasn't prearranged in advance that he's going to get more, and not necessarily trees and land and things like that sometimes produce more and sometimes produce less, so he's taking on himself enough of a degree of risk that we said it's not considered ribis. So now the Braisa describes what happens during that time. Yavasha ilanei nichtas. What if during that 10 years the tree dried up and stopped producing fruit, or it was chopped down? So what do we do? Shnei masurin boy. Neither one would be allowed to take. Neither the malva nor the loiva would be able to take the wood of the tree and use it for firewood or whatever. The problem, the reason is because, one way or the other, kal yakana. If the loiva is going to use it for firewood, then it means he's taking away something that, an asset that should belong to the malva. And on the other hand, if the malva uses it, he's taking away an asset that eventually is going to return to the loiva. So neither one is allowed to use it for firewood. Kate said yasa. So what do? You lokach baitarka. We sell the wood of the tree to a third party, to somebody else, and we use it to buy a piece of karka, which is going to belong to the loiva, and the malva continues to eat payrus from it. So in other words, basically we transfer the mashkanta from the tree onto a piece of land. Now the Gemara says, Vahahaha. Now let's consider, if we do that, if we take the wood of that tree and use it to buy some land, given to Kamati Yovel. Now once you're talking about land, when Yovel comes, Kahadra Ara Lamara, the land is going to be returning to its original owner. At that point, the Mashkanta is going to be cancelled. Vikokal Yakarna. And then there's going to be, And then there's going to be Kal Yakarna, because at that point now the Malva and the Loiva's Keren is going to be it's not going to return to the Loiva or the Malva. Who's the field going to return to whoever was to the third party that they bought it from? Well, now both the Malva and the Loiva aren't going to have the Keren anymore. So we see that there's no problem of Kalyakarna. There's no problem of making an arrangement, that's going to end up with Kalyakarna. Not like Rav says that we are concerned about that. Now, Rashi makes the point over there. Rashi makes the point that the Yovel may come out during these times, because after all, the Braisa has not specified when this is relative to Yovel, implying that Yovel is not a factor in it. So the Marashal explains, in other words, that if the Yovel were to come after the years of the Mashkanta, then we wouldn't call it Kalyak, then Rashi seems to be implying that it wouldn't be a complete Kalyakarna, because at least what you would have is, after the 10 years are over, the Yovel would get back the field for a period of time. Okay, later on, he'd have to give it to the guy he bought it from, but that's already after the fact, so it's not considered Kalyakarna. The problem is, the way Marashal understands Rashi, is the problem is that Yovel might come during the 10 years. On the other hand, Marshall says in that case, then not necessarily really, Tosfos actually points out that no, you could even have that there would be an issue, that there would be an issue eventually, even if the Yovel comes after the 10 years are over. So therefore, but according to Rashi, then why are we saying the question is only if the Yovel comes out during the 10 years? Marshall actually explains that, not Marshall, Marshall. So Marshall mentions that point. Marshall says that actually you could understand Rashi more like more in the same vein as Tosfos, that we mean that Rashi doesn't mean to say that it means that the davka, if the problem is if it comes during the 10 years, it means what it means is if it happens during the 10 years, then it's Kalyakarna for both of them, and if Yovel comes after the 10 years, then we're saying it's not then it's not really a complete Kalyakarna, because again he does have the use of it for some period of time after that. Anyway, the point is that the point is that the Braisa is not even mentioning Yovel. The Braisa is not even mentioning Yovel as a factor. So you have Tosfos points out the other way around. If you have that the 10 years are over before Yovel comes, okay, then you say it's not Kalyakarna. At least he has the use of it for some years before that. But the question is, what happens if Yovel comes during the 10 years? And the Braisa is not mentioning that as a factor at all. So you see that you're not concerned about Kalyakarna. The answer is, no, you could say, because the scenario is that to begin with, you structured the deal in a way where Yovel won't cause the field to be returned, namely the Zabin of the Shittin Shnin. When you use the money from the wood of this treaty to buy another field, which now we're saying the Mashkanta will be transferred to that field, to begin with, you bought it for 60 years. And then such a field does not get returned in Yovel. How do we know that if a person sells his field for 60 years, and Tosfos says you would think that therefore it wouldn't be considered Kalyakarna? So how do we know if you sell it for 60 years, that you don't return such a field in Yovel? So the Pasuk says the land should not be sold permanently, implying only when, if there's no Yovel, then it would be permanently sold. Yotzazu, as opposed to this, Alphapisha in Sham Yovel and in its Nessus. Here, it's a sale for only 60 years anyhow. Regardless, at the end of the 60 years, it would be given back, so Yovel doesn't have any effect on it. So that could be what we're talking about over here. So again, the Braisa is saying then that what you do is, so you have this tree dried up or chopped down or whatever, you take the wood of it, you use it to buy a field where when you're buying the field, you write in the shtar over there that it's being sold for 60 years. Meanwhile, now what happens is within that 60 years, you have the 10 years of the Mashkanta, and at the end, it's going to return to the Loiva, so therefore you don't have a Kalyakarna over here. So Rav would explain that in that case, now eventually at the end of the 60 years, it's going to be taken away from the Loiva and returned to the original owner. But by that point already, we're not worried about it anymore because it's long after the Mashkanta, ended. So this case is not a contradiction on Rav. But the Gemara asks why. Okay, but the fact is, v'chimotu shitin shnin, eventually when the 60 years are up, v'hadra ara lamara, eventually the land is going to return to its original owner, v'kal kal yakarnim. And at that point, you do have kal yakarnim. In other words, here we were assuming, as Tosfos says, that because it's for such a long time, it's not considered kal yakarna, but now the Gemara is pointing out that no, if Rav is concerned about that, then he has to be concerned even about the long term. Eventually, since this was a non-permanent sale, then eventually it's going to be taken away from the loiva. So it comes out that the mashkanta, so it comes out we did something which disadvantages the loiva. Sure, the malva is going to finish out his mashkanta and return it to the loiva, but eventually the loiva is going to have to give up this field as well. Shouldn't we rather arrange that we should do some other kind of arrangement that the loiva eventually is going to get back an asset that he can keep even long term? So the Gemara answers, Ella Hochemaiskin Mizman Sha'ina Yovel Noyig. Okay, so you know what we have to be talking about, that the Braisa is talking about when Yovel is not in effect. Here we were assuming until now, the Braisa is talking across the board, even during the time when Yovel is in effect. You're right, if this kind of scenario happens, according to Rab, during the time when Yovel is in effect, then you tack out a problem using the money to buy a field because eventually you're going to have Kalya Kana. Rather, we're talking about that eventually. I'm talking about that Yovel is not in effect, and therefore you don't have to have it. That's a sale for 60 years. You're selling the wood and using it to buy a piece of land, which is going to remain with the loiva permanently. So therefore, there's no kal yakarna. And the Gemara says, Hochi nami mistabra. In fact, it's logical to understand it must be like that. If you were going to say that the Braisa is talking about when Yovel is in effect, umachalinen kauna, and that there's no problem with kalya kauna, there's no problem using the money in a way that's good, that where the loiva is going to end up with no particular asset. Well, then in that case, why do we need to go through this anyway? Nitzlachelitzibi, let the malva just chop up the wood, vinishkale, and take it and use it as firewood. One way or the other, you're going to have kalya kauna. Whether he uses the firewood directly or whether he uses it to buy land, which eventually is going to be taken away in Yovel. Since the Braisa is saying that you dafka have to buy land, then that would imply that we're talking about at a time when buying land is not kalya kauna because he's going to be able to hold on to it indefinitely. Well, the Gemara says imishum holei kashel. If that's the only consideration that you're bringing up, then that's not really a proper diuk from the Braisa, because after all, zimnin the shomu shnei mashkanta mikame yovel. Because after all, like we said originally, you could very well have that the years of the mashkanta are over before yovel, and therefore we could say that we're not concerned about what happens after that. The fact is, he's going to have, there's going to be, Yovel is only coming 4 or 5 years, it actually gives an example, after the Mashkante is over, the Loiva is going to get back the field and have the Paris, so we wouldn't consider, so maybe we could say, we're not concerned about Kalya Kauna as long as the Loiva gets the use of it for a significant amount of time. Inami, or another possibility, Demotule Zuzi, or another possibility, he could always raise money, particularly Abba Chomashin, the Kami Yovel, and redeem it, and redeem the field, and then buy back the Mashkanta within four or five years before the Yovel. Now, we learned in the previous parak, actually, with Mashkanta de Sura, usually we say you can't do that. You can't, the Malva is able to refuse payment during that time, because he can say that I'm entitled to the field for that entire time. So the Ritva says here, we're talking about that it could be by mutual agreement, and the Rashba says that actually we're not really talking about a Mashkanta de Surah. The Gemara after you had never explicitly said we're talking about a Mashkanta de Surah. Rashi had mentioned that point. Rather, the Rashba says we could be talking about a different kind of Mashkanta that we learned there in the previous parak, where we agreed that the loan is going to be, we're going to deduct a certain amount per year. For the loan, and we discussed in the previous parak how exactly you do that to avoid issues of ribis, but the point is therefore that he could, in that case, unlike the Mashkanta de Surah, which is guaranteed for 10 years, here it's more that they figured out per year, we're going to prorate the loan and then deduct from it accordingly, and therefore he does have the right to buy it back in between, even unilaterally. Anyway, the point is, the Gemara is saying that so you could have that so not necessarily when we use the money from the wood to buy land, not necessarily is there going to be Kalya Kauna. Fine, Rav doesn't need an absolute guarantee that Loi Kalya Kauna any time, even after many years are over. We could be saying that as long as the loiva will get the land back and be able to have the use of it for several years before Yovel, whether because Yovel is a few years away or because he bought out the Mashkanta early, then that's good enough for our purposes, and Rav's not worried about that. That doesn't show, though, in the case that we're talking about over here, where the donkey died, and you, the soicher, want to use the value of the nevela to rent another animal so that you can complete your trip. Meanwhile, at the end of the rental, you're going to be returning it to the original owner, and to the owner of the second animal that you rented from, and the owner of the first animal is going to be left with nothing. Rav says you can't require him to agree to such a thing, and therefore in that case, that's what Rav was saying then, that the socher of the first animal can only, he has tarumas now, but he's going to have to go and put some money together and rent and use his own money to rent a second animal. So again, that was all according to Rav. Meanwhile, according to Shmuel, was saying that he would be entitled to take the money and use it to rent another one, and we're not concerned about Kalya Kauna. Since in Dinim Mominis, the halacha is usually like Shmuel, so here are the poskim paskin like Shmuel and say that he'd be entitled to do that. Okay. Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa. Here's another case where you rented something where you were going to use it for a certain distance, and now you can't use it for the rest of that distance. Hasoicher is a svina. A person rented a boat, the Tovala Bachtia Derech, and the boat sank halfway through the trip. So Rav Nosson Omer, Im Nosson Lo Yitol, Rav Nosson says, if he had already paid the entire rental fee, Lo Yitol, then he's not entitled to get back any of his money. The Imloy Nosson, as we'll explain in the Gemara soon why that is, the Imloy Nosson, if he hadn't yet paid the rental, Lo Yitol, then he's not required to pay him anything, not even the half away. Well, the Gemara says, Hey Chidami, well, what's the case? Now we can consider now when a person would rent a boat, the assumption that the assumption is that he's carrying with it something that would be too heavy to transport over land. A common kind of thing that people would rent boats for that purpose then is to transport a shipment of wine. It's too much to be able to carry on the back of a donkey, so therefore it would make more sense you'd rent a boat. And as we're going to see in the Gemara, the boat over here would often be a river boat, more like a barge, where you're not even you're bringing it down the river from point A to point B. Using you have people or animals are pulling it with ropes. The people or animals walk along the side of the river with ropes attached to them in the boat, and they pull the animal along the river or the canal or whatever. So here the Gemara is assuming that that's the scenario over here, that you rented a boat in order to transport a cargo of wine, and now the boat sank halfway between, and there goes your wine. So the Gemara says, now again, Rav Nosson is saying it depends whether you paid the rental fee or not. Well, wait, Elaim of the Sfina Zuvi Yain Stam, are we talking about where the master told him, I'm renting you this boat, and then the other guy says that the socher is saying I'm using it to transport a cargo of wine. Well, then what do you mean? Im nosen amai lo yitol. Why if he paid the rental, why should he not be able to get back? Why should we not be able to get back his rental fee? After all, he has a stronger taina. He can say that you told me you're going to rent me this boat. So now that the boat is gone, again, like we said before with the donkey, you were mashabed the boat to me. So therefore, as far as the wine, yeah, my original cargo of wine is now at the bottom of the river and there's nothing we can do about it, but I didn't say I was going to use it to transport a particular shipment of wine. So I'll go get another shipment of wine. You supply me with another boat and I'll continue, and I'll continue with doing what I was going to do, where I was going to sell the wine. So why should we say that if the owner of the boat instead says I can't do that, why should the renter not be able to get back his money? So Tosfos discusses over here, then what's the difference anyway between this and the case with the and then and the case with the where the animal died halfway in between. So Tosfos says for sure. So first of all, Tosfos says for sure if you hadn't paid yet, of course, then Rav Nosson is saying you shouldn't have to pay. But why shouldn't he be able to get reimbursed since he can bring another shipment of wine and the other guy can't supply this particular boat? Now the difference is it would be very easy over there, like we said before. Tosfos had said it wouldn't be that hard to find another donkey to rent. He might have to pay a few extra dollars, but basically he could do it. Or he could always sell his merchandise over here. Here there's nothing to sell because the wine has sank. So therefore that's why the Gemara is not bringing over here the matter of paying him for half the journey or anything like that. Anyway, so in that case, then he should be able to get his money back. So are we talking about the other way around, where the master told him, I'm renting you a boat, so I'm not mashabed any particular boat to you, the yainzeh, and on the other hand, the other guy said, I needed to transport this particular shipment of wine. Well, now that the boat sank, now it's the socher who's not able to fulfill his end of it, because that particular consignment of wine is gone. So then, so then why are we saying that if he hadn't paid the rental fee, he shouldn't have to pay it? How can he get out of paying it? Namely, the owner of the boat, on the face of it, has the stronger claim, because he could say, have the Ahu Kamra, you give me that shipment of wine, but I know my sin is sphincter, I can easily supply another boat. In other words, it's not my fault that you're not going to complete this because you don't have another consignment of wine available. So I'm ready to finish the terms of the contract. If you're not, then you're going to have to pay me the entire rental fee. So again, he should have to pay the entire rental fee because Tosfos points out we're talking about the socher had already done meshicha on the boat. And at that point already, the master, the owner of the boat, is still saying, I have the ability to fulfill my end of the contract. If you can't, then it's your mazel. So you should have to pay me. So now the Tosfos compares this with the case we had a few days ago where you hired workers and now that it rained and now the workers don't have to water the field anymore. The difference is that there the workers were just they lost time from work, but they're not actually losing anything. Here the master has actually lost his boat, so therefore we should have to pay him. We should have to pay him maybe not the full rental, but at least a poil bottle, at least like the amount you would pay him for the time when his boat is laid up. After all, why can't he say, oh, you know, I will go find another consignment of wine. The source points out, we had a case where you hired workers to do a job and then they finished earlier than expected. And we said you're allowed to give them other work of equal quality. So the same way over here. Yes, he said yayin zeh in the first place. Why wouldn't we say that he can find another consignment of wine, and then at that point, the owner of the boat has to provide him another boat, and he'll finish the thing. So the choice discusses a few possibilities, and one of them he says is that similar to what Tosfos is saying over here about the difference of who lost out, the workers when they finish the job early, they haven't lost anything, so therefore the owner can say I'm giving you other work, as opposed to over here the master has lost the boat and therefore there's a limit how much you can put responsibility on him to supply a new boat unless the other guy can say I can use the same wine and he doesn't have the same wine anymore because it's sank. Anyway, the point is, the Gemara is asking that in either of those cases, if the boat was stam or if the wine was stam, then on the face of it, you have either he's not paying the rent at all, or he's entitled to a reimbursement of it, or he should have to pay the entire rent. What is the case where Rav Nosson is saying, on the one hand, if he paid it, then he's not entitled to it back, but if he didn't pay it yet, then he doesn't have to pay it. So what's the case? So the answer is, the only scenario where Rav Nosson's din would work is only where both of them said one specific thing. Reuven, the owner of the boat, had said, I'm going to rent you this boat. And Shimon had said, I'm using this boat to transport this consignment of wine. Now, when the boat sank, So the boat's gone, the wine's gone. Neither one is able now to fulfill their neither one is able to fulfill their terms anymore. So therefore, so now we say Yad Teve Ala Tachtana. So therefore, we say whichever one is claiming the money from the other one has the lower hand. In other words, in effect, we say whoever has the money is the muchzik and the money now, and the other guy would have to, and the other guy can't get it back. So. So if the soicher had already, so that's what we said, im nosan lo yitel, if he already gave the money, and now the masker has it in his possession, then the soicher would not be able to demand it back, because the masker can say, you know what, you're not able to fulfill your end of the condition. If you were, then I would supply you another boat, but you had only dafka that consignment of wine. So therefore, I don't have to give you back the money. If you bring your wine, then I'll see to it that you have a boat, but until then, it's not my problem. And if you haven't paid yet, then it's the other way around. Then it's the owner of the boat, the master, who's demanding the payment, and the other one can tell him again, from my point of view, I could get another consignment of wine, but from your point of view, do you have another boat available? And if not, then there's no reason I should have to pay. So Tosfos discusses this a little more. At least though he should be entitled to reimbursement for half the distance that he went. Anyway, normally you're only obligated to pay the rental fee at the end. So Tosfos discusses a few possibilities why it is that if he paid the money in advance, why he shouldn't be entitled to it back. One reason is because it means that he was willing, yes, and he could have gotten away with paying him only at the end, but the fact is he did give him to begin with, intending that should be the other guy's money. And another point, anyway, Tosfos also makes a point, is that yes, when the Gemara is asking, well, am I lo yitin, you're right, we're not talking about the entire rental fee, we're talking about for half the way. But now, so we have four possible cases, because you have Sfina Stam or Sfina Zu, and you have Yayin Stam or Yayin Zeh. So far we've established that if we said the deal was Sfina Zu or Yayin Stam, then the masker has the lower hand, because the soicher can say, I have plenty of other consignments of wine that I could take with your boat. You need to supply me with another boat, or else I'm not obligated to pay you. If it was Sfina Stam V'yayin Zeh, then we said it the other way around. Now the Papa is saying Rav Nosson's case, that depends whether he paid or not, is going to be when it's Sfina Zu V'yayin Zeh. What about the fourth possibility? What about out of a Sfina Stam V'yayin Stam? What about if neither one specified anything? If neither one specified anything, you know, one said I'm renting you a boat, and the other one said I'm taking a consignment of wine, and therefore now you could have it. He could supply another boat. He could supply another consignment of wine. Okay. So therefore, Chokin. Therefore, they divide it. So now we would say that if he already paid the whole rental fee, then he can get reimbursed half of it. And if he didn't receive, and if he didn't give it at all, then he'd have to pay half of it. So if that would be, in other words, Rashi explains that would be, in other words, if either one doesn't want to go through with it. So if the masker says, yes, I could supply another boat, but I don't want to bother, then we would say at this point, then he's only entitled to half the rental, and vice versa. If the masker says that, as the soicher says, yes, I have other consignments of wine, but you know what? I'm not going to bother. Then he would have to pay half the, then he would have to pay half the rental fee. Continues the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, Hasoicher Saspina. Here's another case where you rented a boat. So again, Tosfos also brings up the point, by the way, that why should we say that either way should be entitled to half. And again, Tosfos had drawn the distinction between earlier, where we talked about that he could sell his goods halfway through the trip, whereas here he can't because the wine sank. But Tosfos also mentions something else, that also when you pay the rent at the beginning, Tosfos also makes the point, again, that if you pay the rent at the beginning means, in other words, that you actually temporarily own the thing for all purposes, and therefore you're not necessarily going to get any part of it back. But otherwise, it means that you weren't actually current in the thing, so therefore you wouldn't have to pay. Or at most, the saying over here, if it was Sfinah Stam, the Yain Stam, then you'd have to pay half. Okay. The Gemara says, turn it up on us. So if there's a Sfinah, a person rents a boat, or Porka Lobach at Siyad Derech, and he unloaded, and he unloaded it halfway through. So Rashi explains, to begin with, the Gemara is assuming what it means is like this. So you rented a boat to go 100 miles. Halfway through the trip, you decided to unload your merchandise from it. Then he pays him the rental fee for half the trip. And the owner of the boat only has tarumas on him. That is the fact that he didn't complete the thing. Well, the Gemara asks, hey, here it's kind of the opposite of the case before with the donkey dying. Here the boat is still intact. If the owner of the boat can easily find somebody here in town who can rent, who's willing to rent the boat for the rest of the way, Amai is by Tarumas, then why is there Tarumas even involved? You're not losing out anything. You'll still get your $100 at the end. You got 50 from me so far for the half a trip, and now you've got 50 from somebody else to go another 50 miles. So then in that case, then there's no room for Tarumas. If the owner can't find anybody else in this area to rent it to, then the guy who's unloading his merchandise halfway through is causing him an actual loss. Kula agra boi shalumi. Shouldn't he have to pay the entire rental? Okay, Tosfos says, strictly speaking, maybe not the entire amount, but at least a poil bottle. Now that he's transporting an empty boat, but he should still have to pay him for the cost and the time and whatever of transporting the boat, even if it is empty. So the answer is, we could be talking about where the owner of the boat can find somebody else to rent it to. Ela, my is the tarumas. So why is there tarumas? Mishum rafsasa de sfinta. Because the boat itself gets weakened. Whenever you're bringing cargo on and off the boat, then it weakens the boat, and over time it shortens the boat's lifetime. So he's saying, I expected that you were going to use the same shipment on it for the entire 100 miles. Now instead you're not. So I'm entitled to tarumas against you that you're doing that. Rashi explains that rafsasa de sfinta means that the boat is getting weaker. The Ritva explains slightly differently, not so much weaker, but rather that it moves around a bit. Like you have the expression merchus shaltinik roifus, the part of the head where a baby's skull is soft, and that's the upper edge of where tefillin are supposed to go. So we see that the word roifus means to move around. So here also, like, you're moving around the boat more than necessary. Well, we want to ask Tihochi if that's the point. Taina Malyasahu, then that's a solid claim. He actually has an actual claim of an actual monetary claim. Mamona Isfagabe. He should be entitled to actually be reimbursed for that extra amount, not just Tarumas. So the Gemara says, no, Ella my perka, rather we have to understand the perka law bahatsiya derech, we have to understand it differently than we understood it originally. The perkal of Toya Nebigave, what happens is, halfway through, he unloaded more loads in the boat. So to begin with, he hadn't said that I'm transporting exactly 100 barrels of wine, let's say. He had just said, I'm renting the boat, and I'm going to transport with it whatever I want. So now, halfway through, he decides, you know what, I have merchandise in this area. As long as I have the boat in this area, let me have people bring on those things onto the boat as well. So it's the opposite. We thought it meant he unloaded it, and from now on the guy has just an empty boat. Now we're saying that no, on the contrary, Rashi says means he put in more merchandise into it before. So now, okay, he'll add more for that amount, for that extra amount you pay based on the amount you're transporting and the distance. So here he's going to have to pay him extra for the second half of the trip. That's the point of Rashi. Tosfos has a number of questions about that. So Tosfos explains what it means is it is, like we said originally, that he took everything off the boat. What it means is, in other words, that that he, Tosfos explains, rather than it means that, it means, in other words, that what he did is he sold this consignment, he sold this shipment on the boat to somebody else in the middle of the road. So therefore, though, the Gemara is going to point out the reason. So the Gemara is going to point out a couple of reasons for Tarumas. So actually, let's learn the next couple of lines in the Gemara, and then we'll talk about how Tosfos understands the point of Rabbeinu Chananel. So again, a point of Rashi. Let's start with, though, we're talking about where it means that he loaded more onto the ship, and it means now for the second half of the trip, he's going to pay him more. Well, the Gemara says, Elimai Tarumas. So then, well, where's the Tarumas? He's paying him extra. He didn't make, to begin with, that he's going to transport exactly X amount. So what's the problem? The answer is Mishum Shinui Daita. After all, there's a change of das. I thought that we were going to go quicker and be able to return quicker. Now that you're adding extra cargo on the boat, it's going to take longer to go. So therefore, I'm entitled, so it's not a real monetary claim, but I'm entitled to Tarumas. Inami la Ashla Yisera. Or another consideration is when the boat is heavier, then I'm going to need longer ropes. So again, we're talking about a barge over here, which is being pulled along the river or the canal or whatever by people or animals that are pulling it with ropes. So now the owner says, listen, until now you were transporting one ton of goods, let's say, for example. So therefore, so I calculate how I don't need such long ropes for that because the boat can go closer, a little bit closer to the edges of the river, and therefore we don't need such long ropes to pull it. Now that it's heavier, it rides lower, and now that you're putting on it 2 tons instead, it's riding lower in the water because of that. I have to have it davka in the middle of the river, and therefore I need longer ropes to have it pulled. And you didn't tell me this was going to happen, so I didn't prepare longer ropes like that in the first place. So again, that's all according to Rashi. Again, Tosfos has a couple of questions on Rashi's explanation. So Rabbeinu Chananel says that no, what it means is he sold the merchandise and the ship to somebody else. So now, in other words, so the trip is still going to continue with this shipment, but now the shipment belongs to somebody else. It was first, Reuven had rented the boat from Shimon to transport his wine or whatever it is. Now, Reuven had sold the wine to Levi, and from now on, Shimon, the owner of the boat, is going to have to deal with Levi. So he can say, Shinui Das, you, Reuven, I know who you are, and I get along with you. I don't know who this Levi is. It's not easy for me. What if this Levi is a harder person to deal with? And Ashla Yaseda means that after all, you're going to have that I need to now get ropes to help unload to unload your personal effects, your suitcases or whatever that you took along for the trip. I have to unload those and reload his, and therefore I have titleness about that. Tosfos gives another answer that it means parkalatorian imbegadei. Tosfos says another possibility. The Rivam explained that it can mean that until now all the merchandise was tied up in bundles where he would have been selling it wholesale. Now instead he starts selling it retail. So there's no racks of the sphina. You're not ruining the boat anymore by selling it piecemeal rather than selling it all at once. But still he's saying that there's shinri das. I don't know. You're bringing in other people over here who are going to be buying parts of the consignment, and I don't know if I want to deal with them. And Ashley Yaseira, what happens if he's going to add more to the load on the boat? And then again, like Rashi says, I'm going to need to get stronger ropes. So that's what we're saying. Therefore, so he is entitled to Tarumas, but no more than that, because there's no actual monetary claim. Because the fact is, he had made the deal. He was going to use the boat for a 100-mile trip to transport merchandise, and now the merchandise is being transported. It's just that now, in the middle, we're adding more merchandise, according to Rashi, or we're selling it to somebody else, according to Tosfos. Okay. The Gemara says another din. Person rents a donkey to ride on it. So now, besides riding on it, he does need to take along some supplies for the trip. What exactly can he take along? The socher, besides for himself riding on it, he's also allowed, whoever it is that he wants to bring from point A to point B, besides that, he can put his clothing on it, meaning the owner of the donkey can't say, wait, you're overburdening it. Tosfos brings from Rabbeinu Chananel that instead of susay, clothing, the word would be kisay, which would mean a pillow. But other Rishonim point out why it would be easy enough for him to get a pillow. The Ritva points out that it would be easy enough for him to get a pillow someplace else. So therefore, we mean it's susa. We mean not just the clothes he's wearing. There's no chiddush in that. It means that he'd be allowed to take along extra clothing that he's going to need to that he'll wear once he reaches his destination. He can also put on there his jug or container or whatever of water that he's going to drink on the way. And again, the masker can't say, we agreed that only you're going to ride on it, because this is part of him riding on it. And he's allowed to also take along food for the entire trip. If he wants to add anything more, the owner of the donkey can prevent him and tell him, you know what, you rented it only for you to ride on. So fine, I understand. There's certain accessories that have to go with you, like we just said, but not more than that unless you're going to pay more. Vice versa, Hamur, Maniachal of Sa'urim, the donkey driver himself, the owner of the donkey, who usually goes along with the animal to drive it, can put on the donkey Sa'urim, the Tevin. He can put barley and straw to feed the animal, Umzanoisav, and food for himself, for the donkey driver, Shal Oisayim, all of that only for one day. The barley and the straw and the food for himself, but only one day. Any more than that, and the soichem can tell him no, because then you're going to overburden the animal, and it's not going to go as fast. Well, the Gemara asks, "Hey, dummy. Well, what's the case? Either shliach the mizban, if it's possible to buy food on the trip." Why are we saying that the soicher should be entitled to take along food for the entire trip? Why shouldn't the chamor be able to tell, why shouldn't the owner of the donkey be able to tell him, don't take food for the entire trip and overburden the animal more than necessary? Just take along for today, and wherever we stop for tonight, you'll buy food for the next day. And so, the idol is shechem mizban. If we're talking about where they're going in a place where they're not going to be able to find, where they're not going to be able to find food on the way, then how can we tell the chamor, how can we tell the donkey driver, don't take along food for more than one day? What do you mean? What am I supposed to eat tomorrow? So I'm going to pop a light shrich of the shechem mitrach of the mizban. The case is where wherever they get to a stopping point, to an inn for the night, it's going to be possible to buy food, but it's going to be a tircha. So therefore, chamor davkin mitrach lemizban. Donkey drivers do that. They're used to this kind of thing, to look around and find out and go start asking around in the city who sells food, and therefore he can do that. Soicha lav davkin mitrach lemizban, as opposed to the soicha who is not used to that kind of thing. So therefore he can take along food for the entire way, because he can say, yes, it's true. If it really came to that, I could go around in the city and start asking everybody and find where there's food, but I don't usually do that, whereas you're a donkey driver and you do these kinds of long distance trips all the time, and therefore you're more used there. To be sure, the Ritva says that if the soicher is also the kind of person who usually would go and look around for that thing, then we would also say he can only take along food for the one day. The Gemara says another din, a person rents a donkey, where saying that he's going to use it for a man to ride on it, then he's not instead allowed to have a woman ride on it, because she weighs down on the, she weighs down more on the animal. Now, why would that be? Ben Yehoyada points out a couple of possibilities. Not necessarily does she physically weigh more than a man, but she's less used to riding, so she may kind of hunch over and therefore not carry her weight as well as a man who would sit upright. And also, the Gemara elsewhere mentions women usually ride side saddle because it's tnius, because for them to ride astride the animal is not so tniusic, and therefore, again, that burdens the animal in a way that's not used to. So therefore, you can't do that. The Ritva points out that b'dieved, if she did, then you would still say that he's potter. If the donkey dies, it's not considered such an extra burden that he should be chayev for overburdening the donkey. On the other hand, the Magen Mishnah explains the Rambam to be saying that he would be chayev to pay. The Rambam brings both opinions. Anyway, so whether we mean that he shouldn't have a woman ride an achtachila or even b'dieved is machlokas rishonim, in short. But if he rented the donkey for a woman to ride on it, then a man is allowed to ride on it, because again, a man will be less of a burden on it than a woman. The Isha, if he rented it for a woman to begin with, then it doesn't matter her size, then he's allowed to have go on it, whether the woman is small, whether the woman is large, whether she's a larger person, or whether it's a small woman or younger woman, because he just said a woman in general, and therefore now at that point, then the owner of the donkey can't protest and say, but you're putting on the donkey somebody heavier than I expected. And I feel more better, so I feel a minute, even if the woman is pregnant, and even if she's nursing a baby and traveling together with the baby. So then I ask, why do you need to mention both? Hashtag Nika Amrit, if you're saying that even if she's nursing a baby and you're allowed to, in other words, when you rent the donkey with the understanding that you're gonna have a woman ride on it, then automatically if she has a baby, then the baby automatically comes along. More better than boy, would you need to mention where she's pregnant? All the more so, with a manika, it's actually two different bodies after all. And nevertheless, we're saying that the masker can't protest and say, you said only a woman, why is she bringing along a baby as well? How much more so or more better so the baby is part of her body? So why does the braisa say in that way, more better and manika? By the way, Tosfos points out, as far as it mentioned ben gadol ben katana, with a man, it doesn't mention ben katan ben gadol, because when you say, I'm going to have a man ride on it, obviously a man is usually larger, and therefore it's understood that he meant that. But with a woman, we're saying whether she's small or large, even though women generally ride less than men do, and you could say, I thought you're talking about an average-sized woman, nevertheless, even if she's larger than normal, but we're saying that why mention both Mulberus and Manika? If you're allowed to have her ride when she's nursing, meaning when she's holding a baby, and the master can't protest, how much more so if she's pregnant, which is all one body? So the answer is, I'm going to pop a more better behemoth, if you call now. Rapapa says, what we mean is she's both. She's pregnant with a baby, and she's nursing a baby that she had before. Even that is all included in the definition of Isha, and therefore he said, I'm renting a donkey for an Isha to ride on it, so now the masker can't protest if afterwards the passenger turns out to be a woman who's both pregnant, so she's carrying a baby within her, and she's carrying a baby outside her that she's nursing. Abaya says, since we're saying that even a pregnant woman is allowed to ride on it, implying, in other words, that a pregnant woman is heavier. So you learn from that. Shmamina, you see from that. Vinisa akarsa tokwa. You see from that. When you have a fish, when you weigh a fish, when you're buying fish by weight in the market, the bigger the stomach of the fish, the more the fish is going to weigh. Lamai Naskamina, why is that relevant to know? The answer is Lameka Homemka. As far as buying and selling, if you see a fish with a big stomach, be careful. Rashi says, don't buy it by weight. Tell the seller to take out the kishkis first, because you're probably not going to eat the kishkis anyhow, so it'll be wasted. And then, in other words, it comes out that then you're paying a lot extra for weight that you're not going to use. The same way as we're saying over here, that the extra weight of a pregnant woman is concentrated in her stomach. Now that's a coin to Rashi. First of all, the Rashash points out an interesting idea in that sometimes a person is lighter after he ate than when he's hungry. So you can't always say that the stomach is not always lighter when it's full or when it's empty. With a pregnant woman, we're saying that no, her womb is larger, contains a baby in it, and therefore she's actually heavy. Anyway, though, Tosfos has a problem with that gusa and with that explanation. First of all, what do you mean? It says Minika, why also mention Mulberus? It's common enough to have loizu afzu. Not only that, not only when she's pregnant, but even when she's nursing. And what is this business about the fish? Obviously, the bigger the stomach, the more it's going to weigh. So Tosfos discusses as far as the gusa, but anyway, Tosfos says that you could have a larger and also Tosfos says you need a proof that a pregnant woman is heavier than a non-pregnant woman, and that a fish weighs more with its kishkas in it and without it. So they bring a girsa. So first, the Tosfos says you could find a way to reconcile the girsa, but nevertheless, they prefer a girsa from that Rabbeinu Tam says what the Gemara is saying is, when the other way, when Hashtam or Beres Amrit, you're saying that even when she's pregnant, she's allowed to ride. Minikum Aboya, how much more so when she's holding a baby, the opposite of the Girsa that we have over here. You could say at least the baby to a certain extent shifts its own weight and Chai Nose Atzman, but he can't do that when he's in his mother's stomach. So therefore, so the question read the other way around. Why is the Braisa saying after the Morberes, after the Manika, isn't the greater Chiddush the Morberes, and a Braisa is not going to usually mention the greater Chiddush and then the lesser Chiddush? And the answer is that means that she's both. She's pregnant and carrying a baby. And the business about the fish and the stomach means, in other words, that similarly, it's going to weigh more when the kishkas are inside the fish versus when you take them out. So therefore, tell the fishmonger to take out the stomach and to take out the kishkas and then weigh it, and you'll find it'll weigh a little bit less. In a similar way that we're saying that the woman carrying the baby actually weighs a little bit less than when she's carrying the baby within her womb. So therefore, that would be. So then the Gemara's question was, if you're saying more beres, how much more so menika, where it actually, the aggregate weight is a little bit less because now she's carrying the baby outside of her, similar to the business with the fish. So that's how Tosfos explains this piece of the Gemara and the analogy that the Gemara is using.